Hello and welcome. I'm Patrick, your host for this presentation in the Inland Mariners audio series. In this interview, I'm talking with Tony Zalewski, wheelsman on the steamer Charles M. Beagley, recorded in March 2006.
When did you start sailing, Tony?
1976.
Now, were you the first person in your family to sail?
No, I had a brother that sailed.
Tony, where were you born?
Detroit, Michigan.
So you're born in Detroit.
Yep.
And your family, your brother, is this your older brother that sailed?
My younger brother, he was the first one to start. And then my older brother, he's the chief cook, too. He's on the, we all sail for Interlake.
Okay. How did you get interested in the sailing part of it?
Well, my brother Dave sailed, and, you know, we live up north, you know, and there wasn't too much around here. And then a buddy of mine, he says, call U.S. Steel, and then I got my sailing card, and then I started sailing.
So you weren't really influenced too much by your younger brother?
Well, yeah, he sailed, and he sailed out of Roger City there on them gray boats there. And he was telling me, you know, I was always trying to get in over there, but it was so tight, you know, for the economy at the time. And this other guy, he sailed for the U.S. Steel boats up north, and he's the one basically that referred me to getting in there.
Okay. So do you recall your first day on the job?
Kind of, yeah. I was on that Eugene Parney.
What do you recall about that? Where did you catch the ship? And
I caught it at the supply boat at the Sioux, Michigan there, you know, at the Sioux Locks on the Ojibwe.
Had you ever been on a ship prior to that?
Nope.
So what was the experience like going out there?
Well, it's kind of funny at first, you know, because you don't know nothing about it, you know. It's kind of scary at first, you know. But then after you start working with the guys and you get to know the guys, it was a little bit better.
What's scary about the job?
Well, you know, the lakes, you know, the seas and stuff, you know, because you always heard about that stuff, you know, like when the Fitzgerald went down there and, you know, I guess you didn't know what you were really getting involved in, you know.
So you went out the first year after that sank.
Yep.
So that was in the back of your mind when you caught the
Well, sort of, you know, because, you think, you always heard about the lakes and the storms and stuff, you know. And
so your first job was deckhand?
Yep.
Can you describe what you did on that ship?
Well, it was basically a straight decker, and it had 35 hatches, and they were all telescopic hatches, you know, and then in the fall of the year, you had your tarps and stuff like that, and your job was to, secure the boat, you know, and get it ready for the dock, open it up, and, you know, to load and unload.
Was it a pretty big crew at the time?
Let me think now. I think we had 28 guys back then. Might even been 32. Because you used to have, it depended on what boat you were on, you know what I mean? Because you had like three wipers and three oilers, you know, but that was before, you know, we all had all these cutbacks, you know. It's a different type of sailing back then.
So where was your first port that you went?
Oh, let me see. Oh, it was Central Furnace down there in Cleveland, Ohio, because that's all we ever did on that boat. Straight to Central Furnace.
Is that up to Cuyahoga quite a ways?
Cuyahoga, yep. It's about, I don't know, about three and a half hours up there from the mouth, you know, where it comes in from Lake Erie.
Do you recall that first trip up the Cuyahoga?
Yep. Yeah, they used to take two tugs because they never had bow thrusters, you know, or the stern thrusters back then. They used to take a tug on each end and pull you, you know, where they'd turn in the river, you know, all the turns in the rivers and that.
What did you do when you just kind of sit back and watch at that point?
Well, it took us quite a while to get the boat ready, you know, because there was a lot of procedures, you know, to do that stuff because you had, like, steam winches, and they used to have the winches at midship where you'd have to run the cables like a harness type thing, you know, to pull them hatches open. So it probably took us about, I'd say, a good 3 hours to open up the deck back then.
So how did you unload the boat without a...
I can't remember what, you might know what they are, them rigs they used to use to go down in the boat.
A Hewlett?
Yeah, that's what they used, yeah. That's what they called them. Yeah, we went to that Central Furnace, and it took them like 24 hours to unload the boat. And I don't know, I think we made like 34 trips the entire year. It took a full week to make a trip.
When did you start? What time of year was it?
In July. July 9th, I think it was, 1976.
And so you stayed on the Pawnee the rest of that year?
Yep.
And then what did you think of sailing after your first season? When was layup that time of year?
Oh, let me see. I think we laid that boat up, I think it was December 8th or something like that, 7th or the 8th.
Down in the lower lakes or up north?
No, we laid up at Jones Island there in Milwaukee. That's where they used to lay them up.
And what was your impression of your first year of sailing?
I kind of liked it. I really did like it.
What did you like about it?
Well, because you were always working outside, you didn't really do the same thing all the time. You know, like, you know how a lot of guys, you work in a plant or something, you know, where you do the same thing day after day after day, you know. Mm-hmm. It was different, you know, because you didn't know what you were going to do.
Okay. And you like that. And how was the money back then?
Well, I'll tell you what, it seemed like your money went a lot farther back then. I don't know what we were making. I think it was $4-something an hour, but, you know, that was pretty good money back in them days, you know.
So it seemed like it went farther than it does today?
Oh, here, I found one of my pink slips. I started on the Pawnee the 7th, July 7th, 1976.
So pink slip is your discharge papers?
Well, it's how they used to keep track, you know. It would, have your name, what ship you were on, and if you were, you know, like, laid the boat up and stuff like that, you know, or if you went on vacation.
Uh-huh. How was the captain on this ship?
I remember the guy's name. His name was Johnny Breeze. He was a pretty good guy. But, years ago, you know, the captains and, you know, how the captain, like our fleet today, you know, you have your captains and your mates and, you know, they talk to the crew a lot. Years ago, you did what you were told. You never really talked to the captain. I don't even think I was in a pilot house for like my third year of sailing. Really never went up there. It was a whole different thing back then, you know, especially like U.S. Steel, you know, like you had a bosun, you know, and he was your boss. And basically that's the only guy you used to speak to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the bosun, in terms of ranking, higher than the wheelsman, or is he below, or?
Well, he used to be in charge of the deck, you know, for the captain, the first mate, you know. He used to basically run the deck for him. Like, if they wanted, you know, whatever jobs you had to do for the day, it was his responsibility, you know, to keep the crew working and whatever. And then after they really didn't eliminate that job. They changed it. I don't know what year they changed it, but... Like, I started sailing for Interlake in 1988, and they used to call them ABMs, ABMM, Able-Bodied Maintenance Man. They kind of changed the job title.
Mm-hmm.
And then in, let's see, what year was it? I think it was 2003, they eliminated the job altogether because they went to that general purpose maintenance.
So when you were on the Pawnee in 76, that was the bicentennial year, wasn't it? Didn't they have the boats painted up a little bit, or...?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what, that was one thing when I worked for U.S. Steel. They painted them boats from, like, the steering pole to the, you know, from bow to stern. We did a lot of painting back then. They were pretty well maintained.
And the bicentennial stuff, was that, they had some of that on the ships in 76?
Well, they might have on some of the other ones, but the ones I was on, basically, they didn't. They just, you know, just what the U.S. Steel colors were. You know, like you get up in Duluth, Minnesota, you have that, the Urban? I sailed on that one, too. I was only on there about a month. But that was a nice boat. It's got that doghouse up forward.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a galley or something. There was a walk-in cooler in there. And they used to basically use it when I was sailing for, like, storage, you know, for stuff for the deck.
Mm-hmm. After 1977, did you go back to the Pawnee your second year?
No, I went to, I think I went on the Affleck. Yeah, the Benjamin Affleck.
So you did the full season on the Affleck?
No, I moved around quite a bit. They moved us around quite a bit.
Well, let's talk about that. That was part of just being a young deckhand, as you were sort
of... Oh, yeah. When I sailed for U.S. Steel, all I was a deckhand.
And so that was pretty common to move you around?
I didn't get my ABs till I went to work for Interlake.
So it was pretty common to move you from ship to ship?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How much notice would you get before that happened?
It could be a day notice, 2 days notice. They'd just come up to you and say, so-and-so's coming back. You were basically like vacation relief, you know, because of your seniority and stuff through the unions.
What were some of the ships that you sailed on for U.S. Steel?
Okay. I sailed on the Affleck, the Case and J. Callaway, the Enders M. Voorhees, the Ralph H. Watson, the Ferbert, and then that Irvin. I was been on that Irvin, too. And that might be it for them.
What do you recall about those ships? What, any ones come to mind? Any anecdotes or stories come to mind when you think back on those days?
Not really. No, I was pretty lucky, you know, as far as the weather and stuff like that. It was pretty, you know, it was always pretty decent.
Would you have vacation time at all during the year? Or do you work pretty solid from March through layup?
No, back then I think... I think I had like 8 weeks vacation with them back then. See, I sailed on a few winter runs, too. I sailed on them winter runs in 1977 and 78 on that Voorhees. That was, I think they used to call them the Supers or something.
What were the winter runs like?
Oh, a lot of ice. I remember, I can remember one time, our last trip, I think it took us 21 days for one trip. We loaded up there, I think it was up in Duluth, Minnesota, and then we were stuck down in the rivers for quite a long time. That's when the Mackinac used to run. The ice was probably, at least 2-3 feet thick, you know, and, you know, it would jam up, and, you know, you just couldn't do nothing. You have to wait for the cutters, you know.
Were you in a convoy of some type with other ships?
Yep, there was always a convoy. You had maybe, I don't know, there could have been 10, 12 ships, maybe more, you know. You could just see solid ships. You'd go in a line.
What was the general feeling on doing that kind of, what time of year was that?
January, February.
Probably didn't make a lot of sense to you?
No. Well, you know what that was back then, Pat? See, that was all subsidized from the government years ago. I think they just did it to more or less to, let the people know that, that shipping could go year-round, you know what I mean?
It sounds like it didn't work out too well.
Well, not really. I think they only did that for like 5 years. I don't know. You can probably check the books on that. I think it was like a 5-year thing.
So what did you do all day when you're sitting in the ice?
Not much. You know, you could only, I remember this one mate I used to work for. You know, like you'd get up in the morning, you know, and you're ready to go to work, and you'd have cleaning stations and this and that, and that Voorhees, they used to have it so nicely painted up, the decks and everything, and we used to mop, you know. And the mate just told us one time, he says, just sit and watch TV. He says, don't even, I don't want you mopping anymore, because you do so much of it, you take your paint right off the deck, you know. Them were the years, boy.
You're getting the ship too clean?
With that U.S. Steel, man, they were spotless years ago. They were spotless.
Is that true across all of the fleets now, the upkeep of the ships is different?
You know, they don't do much painting anymore. There's just, you don't have the guys, you don't have the time.
So it's really not a budget thing, it's more the time?
More or less, you know. Yeah, it might be the budget, I don't know. You know, I don't know how these, you know how companies are working today, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So how long did you stay with U.S. Steel?
I worked for them till, 1979.
And then where did you go from there?
Oh, then I got married, and I come home and I worked for Procter & Gamble in Sheboygan in my hometown.
Now, how did you meet your wife if you're out sailing?
Oh, through my brother. One of my I have a brother that lives here in Sheboygan there, and I'm, you know, he was going with this gal, and then it was one of her girlfriends. That's how I met my wife.
Now, is this a brother that sailed?
No, this is another one. Hmm.
Your brothers that sailed, where did they sail? What fleets?
They both worked for U.S. Steel before, and then they went to Interlake.
So when did you go over to Interlake?
1988, June 21st of 1988.
So you
first started.
So you were on the shore for 7-8 years?
Yep, I got out of it for a while.
What made you go back?
Well, my brothers kind of talked me into coming back. They said, why don't you come back sailing? And I really didn't want to, you know. And, well, the job market was really tight around here. So, I don't know, I'd give it another shot, you know. My kids were probably, oh, 6-7 years old. And I'd just come back out sailing, and I stayed. I'm still with it.
Yeah. What was your first ship back with Interlake then?
James R. Barker, 1,000-footer.
What was different from when you left in 79 to what had changed over the
course? Well, when I went to work on the James R. Barker, when I come back to Interlake, that was the first time I was ever on a self-unloader loader.
What was that experience like?
It was different because I didn't know, you know, you didn't know nothing about it. You know, you had to kind of learn it all, you know.
So all your experience on the other ships didn't make much difference?
Not really, no. Well, it kind of helped a lot, you know, for basic knowledge of, you know, sailing and what, you know, what pertaining to a boat, you know, but it was just the booms and the unloading systems, you know.
And were you an AB at this time?
When I went on the James R. Barker, I was a deckhand, and then I went in the summer, I got off, and I went to Toledo and wrote for my ABs, and then I come back, I was a watchman.
Now, the watchman is a job that isn't around, it's still around, isn't it?
Not really, no, they changed that to general. See, all of us guys right now, what they have now is your GPMRs. That's general purpose maintenance with the rating. And like I'm basically a wheelsman, but they still classify as a GPMR, but they have GPMR watchstanders, three of them. That's what the wheelsmen are today. But you do have the other three ABs. They're called GPMRs, but they're like non-watchstanders. But like when we load the boat, like in Marquette or something, you know, where we got to shift the boat up and down the dock, they're basically assigned to a watch, and that's the watch they work when you're in port. But they're not considered watchmen anymore.
When you became a watchman on the Barker, what did that job entail at that time?
Well, okay, when you were a watchman, you were on watch with a mate and a wheelsman, you know, all three of you. And your job was basically like lookout, or when they were in the rivers, you were on the bow, you know, to report stuff, you know. And you'd watch the radars at night.
In the pilot house?
In the pilot house, yeah. You stood a pilot house watch at night.
So that was a little bit warmer than in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
You probably saw some pretty strange things standing out on the bow in the summer, or anything unusual that you'd run across? Or?
Well, I really wasn't a watchman that long. I only did it for that one, for maybe three months or so. Then the second year, I went on that Herbert C. Jackson. That's so, when I was an ABM or a bosun, whatever you call them, and I did that for like 15 years.
So when you went on the Barker, you went on in the fall?
No, I went out June 21st, 1988. And then in the fall of the year, I went watching.
Just until layup then?
Yep.
Okay. So in 89, you went on the Jackson?
Yep. I was on the Jackson until like 2002. I was there for quite a few years.
Quite a few years. So what's it like being on one ship for that length of time?
Well, yeah, I guess you really get to know the ship, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're pretty familiar with it.
Do you like the Jackson? Is it now your favorite ship? Or?
Oh, I like the Jackson. The Jackson's a good boat and this and that, but it's just the trips, you know, that they haul, they start hauling that grain and stuff like that, and I really didn't care for it anymore.
Why is that?
It's dusty, you know, and I don't know. I just got tired of it, and I just figured I needed a change.
So who was captain on the Jackson when you started?
Ernie Robertson.
He must
he's
be
from Alpena, Michigan.
He must be retired now?
Well, he's deceased now, but he retired from Interlake. Sailed for quite a few of them on there.
Such as?
Well, you had Ernie Robertson. I think he retired in, I think it was 92 or something. Then you had Richard Bouvet. He was from down there in the St. Clair River. He lived over there by Marine City. And he was on there till like, oh, geez, 95 or 96. And then Joe Rush, he come over there. That's the one that's captain on the Bagley right now.
Mm-hmm. So when you're on a ship that long, do you develop pretty good friendships with crew?
Oh, yeah, you get to know the guys, you know. You don't really see, you know, sailing's kind of funny, you know. You know the guys and you sailed with them, you know, for years, you know. And in the wintertime, nobody kind of bothers nobody, you know, because it's your, like your time off, you know. Not too many guys will ever call you in the wintertime. It's just pretty close when you're working, though, you know.
So you worked as a watchman on the Jackson?
And well, then I was ABM. That's at Lake of Bosun. Remember that job I told you they eliminated, and then they changed it to an ABM? Able-bodied maintenance man.
So you started on the Jackson as an ABM?
Yep. I did that job ever since. I wheeled on there 1 year, but then I went back because I kind of like to stay outside and work on deck, you know.
So you like the outside and the scenery and the lakes?
Right.
Okay. So 2002, you were still on the Jackson through that season?
Yep.
So in 2003, where'd you go?
Charles M. Bagley.
How do you decide to change ships?
I just needed a change, you know, and I don't know, I just made the move, you know. I figured, well, I'll go try it over there a year. I can always go someplace else.
So you just let the office know that you're interested in another ship?
Yeah, see, every year we write in letters, you know, what boat you want to go on, and if you have the seniority, you go over there, you know, because we're unionized, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've been on the Bigley ever since?
Yeah.
Is that where you started wheeling?
No, I've wheeled before. Like I said, I wheeled a year on the Jackson, and I don't know, I just figure I wanted to change, you know, get off the deck, and now I kind of really enjoy wheeling, though.
Tell me a little bit about what it's like to be a wheelsman. Is there a lot of skill to learn, or?
Well, you got to really pay attention, because, you know, they, you know, like the rivers and that, you got to learn your rivers, you know, the courses, you know, the hauling points, how much wheel to put on the boat, you know. You got to kind of get the feel for the ship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, going up the creeks and that, you know, they adjust the speeds and stuff, you know. You got to, I don't know, you got to really pay attention. You got to kind of, I guess, the more or less, you just got to get the feel of the ship. You know, it's basically the same, but everyone's a little different, you know.
Uh-huh. And the Bigley's a little bit bigger.
Some ships, I guess, wheel better than others.
In the river, so you almost have to learn the same stuff that the mate learns.
Yeah, well, the mate's your boss, you know, like he'll tell you when to start the haul. Usually you know roughly when to do it, you know, and how to do it, and then he'll just tell you to, like, bring it over to a certain degree, and then you bring it over there, you know. Or if you watch your steering pole, he'll tell you, okay, start her left or something, and bring her up to that stack or something, and you're supposed to steady it up, you know.
So you don't necessarily navigate by so many degrees on the compass, or?
Well, you know, your gyro there, you know, you know, like, usually when you're in the rivers and that, you're kind of more or less using your steering pole and that, but they do give you a degree, you know, roughly such and such degree, and then they'll fine-tune it from there when you get it stopped, you know.
Are there certain times of year that are more difficult to wheel in the spring, or when there's more water, or?
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes you get different current, you know. You know, there's a, you know, a lot of stuff can happen with the weather, you know.
How is it steering in ice?
Well, it's not too bad, but, you know, like sometimes when you're out in the lake there, my experiences are, you know, they'll have a track cut for you, and the captain will tell you, okay, just keep her coming and keep it in the track, you know. So you better try to keep it in the track the best you can, you know. So when you can't see the track no more, and you know, if you do get stuck, well, there ain't much you can do, you know. Because see that ice, it floats around, it drifts, you know, and shifts. So you don't really know what's going to happen. But basically, you steer in a track. Or if you're, like, let's say if you were coming out of Escanaba or something, you know, and there's solid ice out there, they'll give you a degree to steer on, you know, or whatever. You do what they tell you to do.
When you first started wheeling, were there captains or keep an eye on you more, or the mates, or?
Oh, yeah, the captain, I don't care if you've been wheeling for 20 years or 30 years, they watch you.
Do they ever take the wheel themselves?
Yeah, they, like on the boat I'm on, the captain will go like this, when you come on watch, he'll say, hey, if you ever need a break or anything, let me know, you know, and either the mate or the captain will take the wheel, but like on the boat I'm on, the captain usually takes it, gives you a little break.
So it's not like a put-down for you, for him to steer the boat? It's...
No. He'll get right in there.
So what do you like best about sailing, Tony?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, you've been at it for a long time, so there must be something about it that you enjoy.
Yeah, I just like being out on the lakes, you know. It's kind of like a challenge, you know.
So when you're off the boat, do you talk with your brothers about their experiences, or?
Well, you know, you kind of, you know, like, basically you talk about, you know, like the boats they're on, you know, how things are going, what they've been doing, you know. Because all boats make different trips, you know, stuff like that.
What ships are your brothers on?
Well, both of them were on the Lee to Gertha this year.
Did they like that?
Years ago when I was on the Jackson there, and I think it was 1989, all three of us were on the same ship.
That's pretty unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we did that for a couple of years, and then because they're officers, you know, my brothers are officers, and then they just had to move, you know, because of their seniority, whatever, you know.
So what are your brothers are mates, or one's a steward?
My brother John, he's a chief cook, and my brother Dave, he's a first assistant engineer relief chief.
Did you know that your brothers were going to be on the same ship with you?
Yeah, because we get them fit-out notices, you know.
So you fit out the year together?
Yep.
What was that like, being on the same ship with your brothers?
Well, that's pretty good, you know. Well, you know, we're all working, you know. We work different, like John, you know. I'd see him because he's a cook, you know. I'd see him every day. Now, my brother Dave, when he was there, I didn't see him that much because, you know, he works watches or he's sleeping or something, you know. When I was in ABM, I used to work days. I didn't see him too much.
So did the crew give you a hard time being all brothers on the boat, or?
Not really. No.
Is that pretty common to see family members out sailing?
Not so much on the same boat, but there has been, we got other people in the fleet that, you know, there's a lot of brothers or, you know, like nephews or something where they've been on boats together.
And what year was this that you were on with your brothers?
1989.
On the Barker?
No, the Jackson.
On the Jackson. That's right. And you sailed together for a couple of years?
Yeah, on and off, yeah.
On the same?
90.
So you would have all been on the Jackson that time again?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not too common, you know, to see that, but...
Is it hard working around your brothers?
No. Well, all of us get along pretty good.
So now, who's the oldest? You're the oldest, or...?
No, my brother John is.
The one who's the engineer? No, he's the steward.
No, he's the cook. He's the chief cook.
Is he much older than you, or...?
A couple of years.
And then the other brother is younger?
A couple of years younger than me.
And no one else in your family has sailed then?
No, just... Well, there's four boys. My other brother, he works in Sheboygan there. He works for the schools. He don't sail. So just the three of us.
How does that work with your family to be gone so many months out of the year?
It's rough. I'll tell you, you miss a lot. A lot of, you know, like you miss a lot of your, you know, like when your kids are growing up, you miss a lot of their activities in school. And yeah, you do. You do miss a lot of stuff.
And then in the off season, you try and make up for that time, and
more or less, yeah.
How old are your kids now?
My son's 25 and my daughter's 23.
What's their impression of your sailing and being gone all those years?
They miss their dad, I guess. That's how you want to put it.
Now your son has no desire to sail?
No, my son sailed with me too. My son sailed with me on the Herbert C. Jackson for 3 years when he was going to college.
Now that must be unusual to sail with your son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had him for a deckhand.
So you were bosun and he was deckhand?
Yep. Used to give him his orders, you know.
What's the perspective on that, watching your son do that kind of work that you used to do?
Well, basically, I guess how you want to put it, you know, like he was a deckhand and he kind of, you know, worked his butt off, you know, and I told him, I said, now you know why you got to go to school, you know, to get an education, go to college, you know.
I take it you did not go to college?
No.
It seems like a good life, though, working on the ships.
Well, it's not bad, you know. I guess what you want to say, I guess it pays the bills.
Now, your son just went during the summer?
Yeah, he sailed in the summer, and then he went to Fair State University.
And he had no desire to stay out sailing then?
Not really, not no more.
How did that change his perceptions of what you did for a living?
Well, he knows what his dad did for a living, you know. You know how you got to work and whatever.
And that must have been interesting, just seeing how he interacted with crew and how they treated you. And
mm-hmm.
Was it a good experience? Was it?
Yeah, he did his job. I guess he got along good with all the guys we work with. You know, there was no favoritism or nothing. You know, he did his job.
But you probably had a watchful eye on him if he was doing something.
Oh yeah, you know, that's basically your job. You know, you're kind of when you were doing that job, you were kind of responsible for, you know, like your three deckhands. So if you seen him doing something unsafe or something, you know, try to correct him, whatever.
Was he on the ship the same time that you were on with your brothers?
No.
Okay.
No.
So what year was that your son sailed with you? Years?
Oh, boy. I got to think about that.
A lot of questions here.
See, if he's 25, he started with me when he got out of school, so he would have been 18. So that would have been, what is this, 2006?
Yep, so 99.
I'd say, what, 99?
Yeah, somewhere there.
That'd be somewhere in that area.
Okay. And what's your son's name?
Chad.
Did you get razzed a lot having your son on the ship, or was that?
Sometimes, you know, but not that much, no.
No?
No.
So what's the future hold for you for sailing?
Well, I'm going to be 52 this year. I think I'm going to get out as quick as I can, but I got to wait till I'm 60, so I figure about 8 more years.
Does it get harder to sail every year as you get older?
Not really. I think the seasons go by faster.
Interesting.
But you talk to other guys, and they say it seems like 1 year is 10 years, you know.
So what's the key to making years go by fast?
You know, I don't really know. I couldn't really say on that. You just got to keep going, you know.
So how has sailing changed from when you started? You said it's not the same as it used to be.
It's just a fast pace, you know. It's go, 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 I guess.
Do you like that more than...
Well, the Jackson was always like that. You know, it was a faster pace. The Charles M. Bigley, that's still a pretty fast pace. You know, they make quite a few trips. Yeah, it seems like you're in port all the time, you know. Guys don't really have no time to really go anywhere anymore because, you know, they cut jobs and I guess, you know, you got to utilize the crew, you know, when you're in port. So you're basically working, you know. Well, when you get off of work, you really don't have no time to go anywhere because, you know, you're only there for a certain length of time.
So it's hard to really get off the ship and...
Yeah, I guess you don't have much port time anymore.
Does that change the dynamics of the crew, how they get along with each other? Whereas years ago, you probably had more time together and...
Really, you know, I guess the crew, you know, you're basically working all the time and, you know, a guy gets off, usually go back, eat your meal and watch TV and go to bed, you know?
Yeah. Is sailing a romantic career? Is it like people picture it?
Not really. Some guys like it, you know, because they, you know, your younger guys, they like it because it's a challenge, you know, at first. But after they've been out there for 5 or 6 years, you know, I don't know. I guess it depends on the person, you know.
Mm-hmm. Any other things that come to mind when you think about your career?
Not really.
Okay. People are always interested in storms. Have you ever been any really bad ones?
Well, I've been in some pretty good ones, you know. I don't know how it is. Well, I guess in you, you're just over here, boy, you know, let's just, get, you know, let up or, you know, get to the other side or get across the lake or something, you know. There ain't really much you can do about it, you know.
You don't get seasick or...
Well, I've had my days, you know, where you get a headache. I don't care how high the seas are when you're going into them. It's when they come from the side, you know, and the ship's kind of rolling, you know, then you might get a little headache.
Well, I think that's it. When do you go back to work?
Well, I think it'll be around towards the end of March, you know.
Yeah.
I think they open the locks till the 25th. We laid the boat up there in Duluth, so it's Superior.
I saw it there in the shipyard the other day.
They're going to do. I don't think they're doing much work on it this year, but I'd say around the 23rd, 25th.
Now, this year, the Bigley will be the biggest steamship on the Great Lakes once the Lee A gets converted?
That's what I heard. That's what the guys were telling me. They said next year you'll be on the biggest steamer on the Great Lakes, so we'll see. I think it is. I think she's 806 feet long, if I'm not mistaken.
So there's some pride to that?
Oh, that Beagle's a beautiful boat. boat. It always has been. It's always kept up pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like a nice ship.
Yeah.
Now, you call them boats. Most people, the boats or ships on the Great Lakes, or?
Yeah, I call them boats. I guess the bottom line is they're all the same. It's just how they're set up, you know.
You like the steamers better than the diesels?
No, actually, when I was on that James R. Barker, I did kind of like that boat, you know, on the thousand footers, but I don't know. I just went where they sent me. I went on the Jackson there, like I said, in 89, and I just stayed there. You know, I never really moved around that much.
Well, I think I'm out of questions, Tony.
Okay.
Well, thanks. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. Catch you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
This concludes this Inland Mariner's audio interview. Thank you for listening. This audio program has been presented by the Inland Mariners, Cypress Pictures, LLC, and Patrick Lipinski. To hear more, go to inlandmariners.com.